Well, welcome to Local Matters. We are talking about educational matters today, and we're talking with Christy Phillips, the Director of Annual Giving and Stewardship in the Department of Athletics at Tennessee Tech University. And we're especially focused today on big anniversaries for some of Tennessee Tech's sports programs. Christy, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. Some of our listeners know you, but some may not. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
I originally came to Tennessee Tech University under your leadership way back in 1993, I believe.
Oh, I love the way you say that, way back.
to the College of Business. And then I was there for a couple of years and then went and did a few other things. And I came back to the university in 2001 and did annual giving for the university for several years, but have always had an affinity for athletics. So when the opportunity came for me to come over to athletics and do annual giving and donor relations, and it's really grown into all of our alumni events and things, it's just been wonderful, and I thoroughly enjoy it. And it's great for me because my father played football for Tennessee Tech when I was born up to the age of two. So for me, I have a, even though I didn't attend Tennessee Tech, a lot of the athletes will say, so, you know, what's your connection? And I can say, well, I carried the flowers to the homecoming queen when I was two.
There you go.
So that's my connection to athletics. So I have a lifelong affinity for the university. And my brother, one of my brothers and I are the only members of my family who didn't attend Tennessee Tech on both sides. So there's a long history there.
How about that? Well, yeah, I think a lot of folks in town know your dad, Otis Phillips, and famous Tech athlete. So he and still very active in Tech athletics today. And we may talk a little bit about one of his pet projects right now, a new football stadium. So we'll talk about that if we get a chance. But well, anytime I get someone on from Tech athletics, I spend just a minute to remind folks about it is a complex organization all to itself. It's got just a lot of moving parts on a given day. So tell us about the wide variety of sports and activities in Tech athletics.
We have 14 varsity sports and 10 or 11 head coaches that head those up for us. So it's easy to think of football and baseball and men's and women's basketball. Those are easy because, you know, you hear about those a lot. But we also have softball. We have men's and women's golf. We have men's cross country, women's cross country, women's indoor track, women's outdoor track. We have men's tennis, softball. So there's just volleyball,
I
soccer.
I started to say, you had to mention volleyball at
volleyball
some point.
And soccer. So we just, you know, we have so many, like you said, so many moving parts. And as I was telling you earlier, even with bad weather, it doesn't really matter. If we have a game scheduled and all of our officials and teams have made it in, we're going to have that game because, you know, it's really hard to get conference things rescheduled. So we always joke that there's very little time off in athletics.
And especially right now with COVID protocols all over the NCAA, boy, if you can get a team here and they're qualified to play, it's tough not to play, isn't it?
Truly. And our men's basketball team just got to play its first game within the last week. We had missed three others, some of it due to weather, some of it due to COVID. And then the OVC has a 4-game limit rule to how many games you can reschedule. So if you can get one rescheduled with another team that's also had theirs canceled, you will take it. And we can't keep up. We got texts one night. They just kept coming because things were changing so quickly okay, we did get one scheduled here. We're going there kind of thing. So, yes, between weather with some of our northeastern partners like SIUE, Southern Illinois University.
Eastern Illinois.
And then Murray, Kentucky, and those kind of folks. So we had weather issues with travel, and then we've had COVID, you know, a lot of COVID issues as well.
Boy, it's amazing. It's been the pandemic has just added all kind of complexity to everybody's life, but scheduling a bunch of different teams all across the Ohio Valley Conference is really, really challenging, I imagine. And then on campus, there's a lot more sports activities. We've got all kind of intramurals going on. And then the Mark Burnett Student Recreation Center is just maybe the most active place on campus these days.
And it's absolutely gorgeous. It's a great new entrance at that 7th Street to the university. It's
Isn't it a great gateway. And it has been recognized nationally as for its design as one of the finest student recreation centers in the United States. So it is it's really great to finally see it come on campus.
My nephew is considering coming to Tech in the fall, and that was his favorite part of the tour, was the burn and the climbing wall and all of the things that it has to offer. So it's definitely a great for recruiting for athletics as well, because student athletes are still students, but also just for recruiting for campus, for general students coming to campus, and you want to increase the number of students we have and grow the university. So yes, it's very exciting to have that finished and as amazing as it is.
And just coming up Willow Avenue, what a great first impression of the campus. And it's not the only impression. There's a lot of other new buildings coming up on campus. So it is a good time for the State Building Commission, and that makes it a good time for Tennessee Tech to be building things. So that's great. Well, you mentioned women's basketball and women's softball. Roughly half of the programs, in terms of number of students, roughly half of the programs are female and half are male. And that's a gender equity thing. And Tech has been one of the real leaders across the NCAA in gender equity for many, many years now, hasn't it?
Yeah, and this upcoming academic year is the Title IX anniversary, and we've had discussions about that internally. And a lot of people, what is it? And it has to be half and half. And it's not necessarily half and half.
Right.
What it is, it's the representation of percentage-wise of students on your campus.
Yep.
So which Tech tends to be 55-45, 50-50,
right.
So that's why it appears that way on our campus. But it's an amazing thing for our female student-athletes and to be able to have those opportunities for women. And especially in the South, where things like lacrosse are now up and coming now, but where they've been, women's field hockey and lacrosse have been very prominent in the Northeast for a number of years, and they're just now kind of coming online here in the South and Southwest. So it's been a great program for us and our ability to be able to offer those opportunities to a lot of female student athletes.
I know. I think this year, President Oldham and I were talking about this a month or two ago. And I think it's 48-52 this year, 48% female and 52% male, which is a bit unusual for the student body. That's a higher percentage of males than we have in a lot of times. But anyway, it's great to see the gender balance that we've been able to achieve. And a lot of that, I have to pay tribute to President Angelo Volpe and athletic director at the time, David Larimore. They really pushed hard and took a lot of flack from the campus to make sure those programs were gender balanced. And then Mark Wilson called me one day and after I became president and said, we need to go to New York City. And I said, why? And he said, to receive an award. And the National Women's Athletic Association, I've probably missed that a little bit, National Women's Sports Association, maybe, had chosen four schools from across the United States that best represented the region for their efforts in gender equity. And in the Southeast, they chose Tennessee Tech. And the president of that group and the lady that I got to receive a trophy from in New York City was Billie Jean King.
Oh, wow.
And I lettered in tennis in college, and Billie Jean King was one of my idols in Florida. And she's the lady that famously beat Bobby Riggs and showed that women could play competitive tennis. Anyway, Mark and I got to go have a big dinner with representatives from four other schools. I remember the University of Washington was there from the West Coast. And I got to sit with one of my childhood heroes, and we had a great time. So Tech has been a leader in gender equity, and that's a real tribute to Angelo Volpe and Dave Larimore and the hard work they did in the early 1990s. Well, we have a lot of things also to talk about, especially some particular anniversaries and celebrations that are coming up here very, very soon. But before we do that, and I'm going to put you on the spot here just a minute, but when you think of student athletes, what student athlete comes to mind in your mind? Is there one in particular that does?
Shannon Fain, and he's not a student athlete anymore. He graduated a year or so ago. But Shannon Fain won the Tony Stone Bumblebee Award for 2 years in a row. And reminds me of Dante Gay, who was also a student athlete on the 2011 team that Watson Brown coached that won the OVC. But Shannon was just the nicest guy and just a fantastic representation of what the Tony Stone Award, which is really near and dear to my heart because of my affiliation with the Kiefer Stone family and my dad's as well. So to be able to take Shannon over and introduce him to Melinda and Julie and their husbands, and then just to know what a great kid he was. So then when he would come back and be on campus at things and for him to remember me because of what I do, I don't get to interact as much with student athletes as some folks do. So when I make a connection with one, it really leaves an impression on me.
This is Local Matters, and we're talking to Christy Phillips from Tech Athletics. We will be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Christy Phillips, and we're talking about Tech Athletics and particularly about some celebrations and anniversaries that are coming up. But Christy, right before the break, we were talking about student athletes, and there are just so many of them that you could brag on and that you remember over time. One that I will never forget is Brent Jolly. Brent was a star basketball player from Sparta and a captain of the team that Jeff Lebo had that was just so good. And we won the regular season OVC, and then we went to the tournament, and we were upset. And my favorite memory of Brent Jolly is him at the end of the game laying down beside the bench, beside the chairs on the men's bench, sick to his stomach that they had lost that game. But it was actually a blessing for us because then we qualified for the NIT, and Brent led that team along with everybody else to a real run in the NIT. We beat Georgia State, and we beat the University of Dayton, both powerhouses in those days. And then we went up to Yale and beat Yale, and then had to go to the University of Memphis and play an in-state rival, and darned if they didn't beat us, and then they went on to win the NIT. But I remember Brent Jolly.
It's funny that you mentioned Brent Jolly and that team because this is their 20th anniversary, and we are Frank Carroll is helping us to try and locate as many of those players as we can get. But I remember, you know, coming over his name when we were looking at the members of the 2001-2002 team that made that run and won the OVC, and this year is their 20th anniversary of all that. So we are wanting to try and bring as many of them back as we can and recognize them on February 26th for our last home game weekend doubleheader series to recognize men's basketball alumni.
Boy, that's great. That's great. I hope I'm in town and can be out there to cheer them on, because that was a great team with some great memories. Well, we want to talk about some celebrations. Just weeks ago now, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of women's basketball at Tech. Tell us about that event.
More than a year ago, and really it should have been celebrated in the 2020-2021 season. But because of COVID last year, we didn't have any alumni events. We didn't have any of our Eagles Nest hospitality events. We were doing all we could to compete, to stay in competition. So we postponed everything and did it this year. We recognized it last year and celebrated it this year. So we've been planning this for a very long time, and I have been beating the drum. And of course, our coaches, they're recruiting, they're practicing, and they're in season. The last thing that they really want to worry about is throwing a big party. Yeah. But it's all that was on my mind for a very long time. So with the help of Diane Murphy, who was on that inaugural team, and several others, we were able to locate addresses for all of them, except for, I believe, two, and get invitations out. And we had, I think, four or six of them actually here that weekend, which is just huge to have those ladies back. And it was just such a neat thing to get to meet them and to know that they were here. And we also then had, equally as just amazing, we had Mary Nell Matters, who began the program with women's basketball and volleyball here at Tennessee Tech. And then after her tenure, she was here from 1970 to 1986, Coach Bill Worrell, who really led the team, you know, during so many of our OVC runs for 20 years from 86 to 2006. So having both of them here and attend the event was just amazing. But percentage wise, and if you've ever been to the football alumni golf tournament in the summer, it's huge with the number of people, but they also have a huge number of alumni. So percentage wise, this event had the most alumni return for an event that we've ever had.
That's amazing.
I was very excited. It was a fantastic event. We had ladies that had, you know, I haven't been back here in 30 years, or I haven't been back here in 40 years. And so that's always really neat to welcome them back and to have a great event and to let them. We had the director of basketball operations, Emily Hatfield, whose mom and dad both played sports at Tennessee Tech. Her mom, actually, Melinda Clayton Hatfield, is a Hall of Fame athlete. But anyway, Emily had gathered every media guide and poster that she could find during that era and had them all set up at the event so people could go down and look at and see their programs, which was just really, really neat.
It was pretty cool. I was there, and it was fun to see Coach Worrell and just all the people that were there. Mary Nell did a great job of reminiscing from the time she was here. And Kim Roseman was there, current coach. The players weren't because of COVID quarantine protocols.
Exactly. Yep.
But and I know she just scared to death to expose those players to anything. But it was great to have her out there, too. And as you say, just a lot to celebrate. And there were some players there that I remembered well, couple of which I had not seen recently. I see Allison Clark, mm-hmm. Coach Clark, frequently. I see Emily Christian every few months anyway. But I had not seen Janet Holt, for instance, in a long time. It was great to reminisce with them. Amy Garrett, just players I hadn't seen in a while. So it's fun. Are there other famous players you remember from basketball?
We have a lot of players that always come back every year. Part of Mindy Campbell Odom's group that has Tammy Burton and Michelle Bishop Shields and Sean Monday Smith. And there's several of that group
that are always celebrated group.
Yes. Always come back, that are always here, that you know, are very celebrated. And when we brought everybody down on the floor, you know, the question was, well, you know, do we come out with our year as far as, because we were listing every OVC championship that those women have earned, and there's 19 of them. I mean, they're our most celebrated program. And I said, we can't. I mean, you got to step forward with a series of years, because several of y'all are 2 and 3 and 4 multi-year OVC back-to-back winners. And at a time, we're still the winningest program in the OVC. I mean, even though, you know, we haven't been as storied as we were, you know, maybe 20 years ago, but we are coming back to that level of eliteness, and we are still the most celebrated. And I believe Thomas's thing said that we are still the 21st, I think, most successful program in NCAA. And
that's
that,
amazing.
And people always go, is that Division One? And in basketball, football is different. We are FCS. We are still Division One. We are in Division One in everything we do. So even though we're Tennessee Tech, we still play on the same level. And if we go to NIT or we go to the NCAA tournament, we're playing Duke or Tennessee or Baylor or UConn or whoever. So, yeah, that's in everybody. That's in all the big dogs. We are still like the 21st most winning program in the country. So it's a really, if you take the time to go back and look at some of the history of women's basketball, it's just incredible.
It is amazing. And it is so much fun to listen to Bill Worrell talk about some of those. He came as Mary Nell Metter's assistant, I believe, in
his
first job, and then stayed and
joined. Very lucky he did.
Yes, we sure are. And you go in that Hoover Ublin Center and look at those flags up there, and it's there aren't many. You and I have both been in a lot of centers across the Southeast, especially. There aren't many that have all those flags
That's
like
right.
that. So that is really great. Well, this is Local Matters. We are talking to Christy Phillips from Tennessee Tech University, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking Education Matters with Christy Phillips, and we've been talking about celebrations at Tennessee Tech. Christy, there are some upcoming celebrations here just very, very shortly. Tell us about football and baseball.
And men's basketball.
Men's basketball, yes.
So excited. And again, you know, as the person that gets to, you know, talk about this, poor Mark Wilson, our athletic director, you know, he's literally day by day putting out fires, trying to, you know, make things happen as far as with schedules and things. And then here I am going, yeah, but we have 100 years of football coming up, and we have 100 years of men basketball. And those things are months away. So, you know, he's like, okay, we have plenty of time. And I'm like, no, we don't. So I have been actively trying to behind the scenes kind of start getting stuff together and working with different groups. And Coach Braga, who has just returned to be our head coach again, we are all so excited
about that.
That's
a big celebration for baseball, isn't it?
So we had our first head coaches meeting on a week or so ago that he was able to attend. And I leaned over to him and I said, welcome back and everything. But just to give you notice, you've got a year and then it's your 100th. So I'm going to be coming and bother you a whole lot, because the 2022-23 season is the 23 spring season is baseball's 100th. And I said, so just be ready for me. But this summer, actually April 9th, we will have the spring football game, and we're going to have the spring letterman's breakfast kind of thing. And it's something that Coach Alexander started a few years ago, and we have as many alumni as we can come back in. We do the alumni awards from the season, and then they have the spring game. And it's just a great way to, you know, wrap up spring practice and kind of showcase for the next season. So that'll kind of be our quiet kickoff of the 100 years. But then July 15th and 16th is the football alumni reunion weekend, which also has the golf classic, which was the 30th anniversary of it 2 years ago. And it was started by Mike Ledford and Coach Hennigan and that whole group back, you know, 30 years ago at the time. And we had a great celebration for that. So now going forward with the 100th, I'm terribly excited. We're going to celebrate all of the 10 OVC championship teams. This is the 50th anniversary of the 72 team that is probably, and I think Mike and Thomas and SID would agree with me, it is our most successful, most celebrated team because of where they went with the Grambling Rice Bowl and the number of players that came out of that class that went on to the NFL. So just that team, and I'm kind of biased because it's my dad's team as well. So it's their 50th this year. So we're going to have a lot of that. And then we go immediately following that into men's basketball. It's their 100th. And then we'll have in the spring, we'll have baseball and it's their 100th. So it's going to be a exciting celebratory year for Tech Athletics.
It is indeed, and I've still got in my office the football from the last OVC championship, which I think was 2012.
2011.
11-12, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was in the fall of 11, that's right. Yep. And I've got that basketball proudly displayed on my wall. So that was Coach Watson Brown.
Yep. He this past fall was the 10 year was the 10 year of that group. And it's just kind of, and again, that was Dante Gay and a lot of those guys. And they're all just kind of like, has it really been 10 years?
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
yeah.
And it has, but they're a great group of guys. We had a lot of them come back and it was really cute because every one of them, but maybe two, had little kids, you know, running around with their daddies and going out onto the field. And Watson was here for that celebration. So it was really great to welcome back the 2011 team on their 10th year. And I've told them, I said, don't get comfy because I need to have you come back again next year for the 100th because we're going to be celebrating y'all again.
Well, and maybe Mac will come back too. Watson Brown's got a famous brother in addition to himself, Mac Brown, who's the coach at North Carolina.
Yep.
Both of them Cookeville High School natives and alumni, both played for Cookeville High. And so it'd be great to get them all back for that celebration. Well, just a lot of good great names we can talk about related to football. Mike Hennigan before Watson Brown and Wilburn Tucker. Boy, they're just all kinds of coaching history here over the many years. And I don't know which players you remember the most. Certainly Jim Youngblood, Jim Ragland, a bunch of different players. Any come to mind for you in particular, other than your dad?
I have a handful of memories, or there's just the pictures in my brain. But at the time, there were several student-athlete football players that were married. It wasn't an uncommon thing, which it would be today. And so Jim Youngblood, Jim Bishop, of the fourplex in Tech Village. So QE was, Building Q East, whatever, was our building. And I never can remember who the fourth person, and they remind me of it every year, and I never can remember it. But anyway, we were three of the four, Phillips, Bishop, and Youngblood, and they all had small children. So Jim Bishop had Brad, Jim Youngblood had Tara, and then there was myself. And so we all played together, and I can remember those. And so every year I look forward to seeing Jim Bishop and Jim Youngblood coming back. And giving them a hug because I've literally known them my entire life. And Jane, Jim Bishop's wife, used to babysit us. And so she always asked, she doesn't make it back a lot, but she always asked about me. And I really enjoy that. But it's just, there's a lot of guys from over the year. The Fitzpatrick brothers, Ace and Deuce, are hysterical and so funny. And I always enjoy seeing them. So there's not a lot that I don't enjoy seeing when it comes to the football. Sonny Allen is here in town, and I try to go see him as often as I can. But he is probably one of my absolute very, very, very favorites. And I just adore Sonny, and he's very integral to the whole football history.
He's been part of football history for the whole time, hasn't he?
Yep.
Even in the work that he did afterwards with Adams Plastics. But Sonny Allen can tell some of the funniest stories on other players. And it is really funny to get to listen to student athletes talk about their time. Well, we don't want to overlook Matt Braga and the baseball team. Again, that's coming up next year, 100 years ago. Think about Cookeville and the Tech campus, or the Dixie College campus, even before it became TPI. Think about the athletics that was played in 2020 or 22. I know some of them started even in 1915 or 1916, but you go back 100 years from 2022, and 1922 sounds like a long time ago. It has to be, would have had to be quite a different experience. And I'm sure they didn't travel anything like some of our folks get to travel today. I'll never forget getting on the airplane with Watson Brown and the football team when we played Iowa a few years ago. And that was a money game. We play usually one money game a year. And it may have been Iowa State. I've forgotten which of the two it was. But That's about the only game where the players get to go on a plane. The rest of it, they jump on a bus and go to Western or Eastern Kentucky or somewhere. But they were coming on that plane, and Coach was sitting in the front seat, and Gloria and I were sitting across the aisle. And these gigantic young men came walking on the plane, and Gloria was just amazed at them and how big they were. And Coach Brown leaned over and he said, "Miss Bell, you just wait about a minute. When we taxi out on that runway and that pilot revs up the engines, you turn around and look at those guys. They're going to want their mamas." For a lot of them, that was their first plane flight. And it was always great to travel with them.
And that's the thing every year that I don't think a lot of us necessarily appreciate. But it's very often the case that whether it's football or baseball or any of our basketball programs, when they do get the opportunity to fly and go somewhere, for a lot of those student athletes, that's their first time on a plane or out of state or, you know, anything like that, or in that type of arena or that type of event. The women's basketball team went to Puerto Rico over Thanksgiving. And our basketball teams have traditionally done that. And football really started doing the money games with Watson, and they continue to do those. I remember getting on the plane and going for the 2018 baseball super regionals at the University of Texas.
Yes.
And just the absolute difference in how the programs are and the facilities and things, but how much pride and how many alumni from all over the place made it to Austin, Texas and tailgated with us. And, you know, but the same thing for a lot of those guys. That was their first time on a plane. And so it is, people say, well, why would you do it? You know, they could get hurt, and they could get hurt, yes, in almost any game. But again, to see those kind of things and be able to play on that kind of stage is a, if you ask them, a lot of them will say it was one of their best memories.
That's
they'll never
the things
forget.
They remember. Yeah. And it helps in recruiting to say you're going to play an SEC team or you're going to play the University of Oregon, even though that was a painful game for our team. But and again, I think the statistics nationwide show there aren't any more injuries in those games than there are in these smaller games, partly because their student athletes are better trained. They've got a much higher level of training, and so they can often the injuries are even a little bit less. So that's great. Well, before we leave, we've got to talk about the new football stadium and give you a chance to put a pitch in for what everybody is excited about in the football program. So talk just a moment about that new stadium.
So there's a new stadium, but there's also a new football operations center, which will be where the locker rooms will be housed and the coaches' offices and the auditorium and study rooms and their academic areas. And all of sports medicine will be housed there. And it's going to be right across from our athletic performance center, which is where all of our student athletes do their weight training. That's where Coach Matt Hewitt does all of that strength and conditioning training. So to have sports medicine right there next to it will be great. And that building, that huge project, is something that Diane Murphy and Otis Phillips are both heading up and working on with a great steering committee group of people. Danny Brooks locally, John Jones out of Murfreesboro, Frank Omiel, who, you know, played, I think there's five teams. The one I remember the most is the Falcons. But anyway,
I remember Chicago Bears,
Chicago Bears
I know he
Falcons.
Played the Falcons too. Yes.
So those are some of the guys that are on that committee working with Diane and Otis to make that happen, because, and what people don't necessarily know, and you really wouldn't unless you work in it though, but state funds cannot go to build athletic facilities or to maintain athletic facilities. So anything you see built like that has come from private funding. So they are working on securing the private funding for the Football Operations Center.
This is Local Matters. We have been talking to Christy Phillips. And Christy, we could talk all day.
We could.
There's just a lot more to say. And I just want to say thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.